There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
We're looking for a new lead singer in our band, Chubby Boys. You are the perfect man.
I can only be in your band if you spell boys with two I's and a Z. Can I please come into your band? I tell you, I have the most absolutely ferocious voice in all of Norway.
Let's see hear another sample, please.
Do you want to hear the thunder of Odin's hooves?
Uh-huh.
As if they trample their way through the studio? Are you ready to hear the yawping the many wolves and the hawks that come from my fingers?
Uh-huh.
Here we go. And a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Brett Kitzel. That's Marcus Parks in Los Angeles. We have death metal Henry Zabrowski. Black metal, rather.
Black metal, yeah. God damn
it. It is difficult.
It is extremely difficult. That's what we're talking about today. It's Norwegian black metal part one.
Oh, yeah. And this is a whole series. Yeah.
A whole series. I have to say, full disclosure, I cannot tell any of these bands apart. They all look like the girl in the well from the movie The Ring. They have long hair. They look like they've been weeping and just like sitting in water for a long time. And it sounds like you're living in a nuclear warhead. I don't know what this music is.
You haven't spent a long enough time with it. I've been listening to it the last 5 days straight since we started working on the episode. Again, I think Marcus is going to bring this up in the show. I'm also like, I'm a heavy metal fan. I'm pretty casual, but I like traditional like thrash metal. Like I like Metallica, the stuff that you get at the record store. Now that I'm starting to listen to it, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And then now you go past that lip. If you listen to it long enough, now I can pick them out. I'm like, oh, okay, that's Bathory. That's Mayhem. Burzum is the one that sounds like a nerd taking his pants off. It does sound like a big fat man slowly revealing his asshole while that ominous music plays in the background.
So is it fair to say we won't be getting into Third Eye Blind in this episode? Is that right?
Third Eye Blind will be largely ignored during this series.
Oh, okay.
Well, the early 90s Norwegian black metal scene is among the most notorious in music history. From 1991 to 1993, this small corner of the music world produced murder, suicide, arson, and some of the best music of the metal genre.
I have a question. Would you equate the black metal scene to like the East Coast, West Coast rap battles of the early 90s?
You know, I was thinking that, and I think the only reason it didn't get as much press is because these guys look like human marshmallows with eyes. And
skinny marshmallows.
Yeah, they're just soft. They're like, I think there's a Simpsons episode where they go into a different dimension and Homer can just be like poked through.
Yeah.
They look like they have bodies like that.
Yeah, they all look like the arm from Twin Peaks, The Return. Yeah. You know, these guys are very, it's very specific, right? Mm. But they were huge in Norway. In Scandinavia, in Europe, the black metal controversies were massive.
Yeah. Mm.
They were all over the place. They were all over the tabloids. We just didn't get them as much because metal, just normal metal in the U.S. was seen as very evil.
Right.
So when we were seeing, like, that stuff was just, like, forbidden. We didn't get half that black metal stuff unless you were a huge, huge fan. Right, Marcus?
Well, black metal never really took hold in America.
Hmm.
There's plenty of black metal fans and a lot of black metal bands. We met an awesome black metal band in North Carolina just this weekend. Hello, how you doing, boys?
Yeah, they gave us a vial of their blood.
Yeah, it's in my office.
And you guys kept it. I thought that was interesting.
Marcus kept it. You should have seen, because the security guy was right next to me, and he's like, man, you got to check this out. It's a vial of my fucking blood. My girlfriend's been keeping it for a year. And the security officer's next to me, and he's like, do you want me to, like, wail on him?
Amazing security at the show in North Carolina. Yeah. And they were not needed because the people were wonderful.
Absolutely not. The black metal dudes were awesome. I made friends.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. But it never really took hold in America like it took hold in Europe. And like you said, you know, like in the early 90s, we were more concerned of Tupac and Biggie.
Tupac, Biggie. What was Kurt Cobain up to?
Yeah.
And of course, the Satanic Panic, which we've talked about on a regular basis. And when we do the West Memphis 3, we'll get more into that too.
Yeah. We never really got into black metal because nobody was listening to black metal in America at the time.
Now, first off, this episode would not be possible without the fantastic book Lords of Chaos by Michael Moynihan and Diedrich Söderlund.
It's so good.
It's great.
It's so fucking good.
And I know some people take issue with this book's veracity, but I couldn't really find specifically what it was that people took issue with. The only person that I could really see that had a lot to say about this book as far as what's true and what's not is Varg Vikernes, who is not the most trustworthy of people in the first place.
Why not?
He always has a thing to say. He always has something to say. He's constantly running his fucking mouth. He's somewhere between the Snowden / Timothy McVeigh of the black metal scene. He loves to talk.
So he's a sociopathic leaker? Is that what's happening? Okay.
I'd say he's a leaker.
All right.
In his pants, because he's peeing his pants. It's a funny joke. But he's always full of it. I think what you make a good observation here is that this whole shit was done by teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is all kids in their late teens, early 20s. This is a music scene, for fuck's sake.
Right.
If there is any place for rumor, misremembering things, and hearsay, it is a music scene involving a bunch of children.
So you don't want to put them on the stand. So if you're a prosecutor and you find out that the only people that you have to call to the stand are metalheads, just leave them at home.
Well, it all depends on the metalhead.
And also in the black metal scene, I could just always imagine the face of the cops talking to each one of these guys and just the miles of eye rolling. Like, if you could just put together the inches of eye rolling together, it would go to the moon and back.
Yeah, and we're going to say this right up top. We know that some people take metal, and specifically black metal, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the things the early black metal scene was proud of is that they never, ever laughed. Never.
Ooh, that's kind of fun.
That's sad. They don't laugh. They do the, like, it has to be a rueful snort is the only thing a black metaler will use.
No laughing allowed.
Personally, I am a very casual metal fan, or at least casual compared to people like our good friend and mod of the Snake Pit. Our Facebook group has become Lupe Rodriguez, who I want to thank for all of his help on this episode. I've been texting Lupe almost damn near every night, bothering the shit out of him, asking him everything that he knows about black metal and where to go. So this Lupe has been invaluable during this episode.
You're telling me if they watched a Gallagher special, they wouldn't crack a smile? Are you going to tell me that? Because I do not believe that's true. This is Norway.
Come on. Him sitting on that big couch when he's got the fucking the roller skates on the trampoline. Europeans love that dumb
they
shit.
They love it.
They love all of that. That's silly.
And when he did the world map, but using food to represent the cities and states. Oh, my God.
But nevertheless, even though we are pretty casual fans, we're still going to give it our best shot to try to do it all justice. Let's start with just how vast the genre of metal is and why black metal in particular is of a special breed.
That's my new fucking riff.
I literally,
for the day.
I just pictured the women leaving me in seventh grade when you saying that.
Yeah, I guess like the pound and out and out. That's more like thrash, but like the.
Yeah, like you're
man, it's fucking good.
It is. If a treadmill could scream when I was on it, that's what it would sound like.
Now let's go through some of the subgenres of metal.
And I'm gonna put this up top. If any of you fuckers out there manages to mix any of these subgenres in front of an actual metal fan, you will get jackknifed. They take these subgenres very seriously.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about these.
And I'm sure we're going to get plenty of tweets about, well, actually, I would say that Gorgoroth is more death metal than black metal, but like, you know, you can really just say whatever you want about it, I suppose,
but you're wrong.
I don't know. I kind of agree with that troll there. Gorgoroth is a lot more like whatever else you said, and not like the other thing you said.
Well, death metal is essentially the over-the-top slasher movie of the subgenre, with songs like Regurgitation of Giblets and Malignant Defecation by Carcass.
I love...
I. Have they just been sitting, like, with a camera in my bathroom? Is that how they name these songs?
Why did the American Medical Association adopt these terms? Forget choking and CPR. It's the regurgitation of giblets and the malignant defecation. If you are a little bound up, we've got just the thing for you. It'll give you malignant defecation.
Mr. Anderson, please sit down. Is that your wife? Ma'am, I'm going to need to ask you to leave the room.
Uh-oh. This isn't good.
I'm sorry. You have stage 4 malignant defecation.
You could have lightened it up a little bit with a joke or something.
No, I don't laugh. I'm a black metal doctor.
God damn it. Why did we come to you?
And then you've got blunt force castration and submerged in boiling flesh by Cannibal Corpse.
What's that one about?
I think submerged in boiling flesh technically means he went to Six Flags and he forgot his sunblock.
Yes.
So he's just burnt and second degree burns.
Oh my goodness. I just think about scenes from the documentary for Unit 731.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. They did that in real life.
Oh yeah, man.
Yes.
Now, interestingly, death metal has two main points of origin. Stockholm, Sweden, which makes sense,
mm-hmm.
and Tampa, Florida.
Good luck, Tampa. I hope Tampa's doing okay. That's like fucking. My family's just sitting there, like your family, Kissel.
Yep.
You're waiting for this hurricane, just hoping that Odin shows up and saves them.
I will say, my parents, they're in Fort Lauderdale. My brother and his husband there as well, our future husband, and they are cocky right now.
Aren't they? Didn't they send you?
They're
didn't
cocky.
They send you a picture of your brother's fiance wearing a clown suit on the beach?
On the beach, and I said, "What? It was so horrifying, more horrifying than this new Pennywise."
Is he getting paid to do viral marketing for it?
I don't know. And then my brother-in-law, or future brother-in-law, was just like, just wanted to ease the tension. It's one of the most horrifying pictures I've ever seen. Anyway, yes, we're with you, the people of Florida. We love you.
Then there's doom metal with bands like Witchfinder General and Saint Vitus, which our local metal venue here in Greenpoint is presumably named after. Hello, Saint Vitus. We love you very much.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll be back very soon. I love Saint Vitus. Then there's folk metal, a personal favorite of mine, with bands like Fintroll and Tauresas, which also has the subgenre of pirate metal, with bands like Ailstorm and Swashbuck.
I don't like pirates.
It's fun!
I don't like pirates. I don't like pirate-themed things. I didn't do good in Tampa when they did the whole, they have a pirate festival. I've never enjoyed pirate lexicon or any of that.
The whole narrative is about pirates. You got the Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the
Cubans
football team.
Built that city.
Yeah,
well, the Cubans did.
To honor the pirates.
Quick, dog meat. What does Fintroll and Teresa sound like? What does folk metal sound like?
Oh, now it's a hard, off and off.
Okay. Yeah. Or like Lederhosen fitting music.
But there's a lot of like, boom, dung, dun, dun, dun,
I like it.
Dun,
wall,
I went and saw, Pagan Fest at B.B. King's a few years ago with my friend Megan. Teresa's played that along with a couple other folk metal bands. It was super fucking fun. Fun to watch live.
They did a Pagan Fest at B.B. King's?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can imagine there was a lot of very intrigued customers when they walked into B.B. King's Jazz Club when it was Pagan Fest.
Dear. I thought it said Bacon Fest.
I think I'm getting my defecation problem back. Oh,
this is a stage 9er. Defecation.
And then there's Grindcore with Napalm Death, Anal Cunt, and Pig Destroyer. I know you like Grindcore.
I do. I went to see Napalm Death live. They are, again, I don't understand any of the music, and I was very disappointed in the moshing of the children these days. They don't touch one another, which I thought was very strange. I was never allowed to mosh after 8th grade due to my size. That was quite disappointing. We used to do a lot in 6th, 7th grade.
It's kind of funny how it's a world based off total chaos, but somehow they managed to regulate you out of the mosh pit. Like, they managed to be like, we all have decided, all of us lovers of total mayhem, that Kissel cannot be in.
We love mayhem, but we don't love it. Like, that's too much mayhem. I remember the moment I stopped moshing. I was moshing with my friends Pete, Matt, and Jared. Jared was a tiny one, and I sent him into the bleachers. And I believe he got, like, bloody, and it was sad for him.
Well, then you've got metalcore, a.k.a. Hot Topic metal, with terrible bands like Hatebreed, Killswitch Engage, Atreyu, As I Lay Dying. These are truly, like, metalcore is barely metal. It's emo metal, pretty much.
Oh. But we don't want to offend the listeners who might like that kind of music. I was a big fan of Hot Topic.
Hey, I played bass in an awful metalcore band when I was a freshman in college.
This is where his hate comes from. This is where the hate comes from, he understands. But is metalcore, is that kind of like, what's it like, the save me, come on home and save me from the dark.
It's great music to listen to when you're in a DMV line, you know, waiting to get your driving permit, something like that.
Then you also got speed metal, that's your Motorhead and Judas Priest,
which
dovetails with thrash metal, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Pantera. This is pretty much the most well-known and most successful genre.
And also, it's the one genre that the guys from black metal, those are the ones that they appreciate the most. All those top-tier guys, they always talk about Judas Priest, they always talk about Metallica, they talk about Motorhead and Pantera. That's how they would meet up. Well, they would come from Sweden, Norway, and meet up at these big bands, these big shows, and like that's where they would sell their metal in front of it, which is kind of cool about how like they have their also very strict hierarchy of who's cool and who's not. And Priest is all because they're like, I'd much rather see a band like Priest, something that truly rocks, truly masculine, than the political trippy pants of Napalm Death.
They fucking hate Napalm. The black metal guys
really
hate Napalm Death. They called it trend music.
It's a little kicky. They kick their feet a lot. They're like little soccer players. Little Steve Nash is out there, who's also a basketball player, but he's very good at soccer. I saw Motorhead and Judas Priest, and it was one of the best experiences of my life, man.
So mad.
Who's the fella? Oh my god,
Lemmy?
No, not Lemmy. Hetfield.
Rob Halford.
Halford. Yeah, he comes out on a motorcycle and everything.
Yeah.
He's driving too fast. And I love the song "Breaking the Law" after you realize what his lifestyle is like, and you know it's about butt sex.
Yes.
He wrote it in like Utah. He's like, "How do I break the law in Utah?" Meanwhile, all these truckers and bikers are like, I think it's about guns. And it's like, no, it's about butt sex.
It is about me just getting stabbed in my fucking plums by a tiny man, the tiniest man I could find, because he's metal. I also feel like Rob Halford, it's like, because what is more metal than playing with your butthole?
Honestly.
Well, we'll actually get to that in episode 2.
Oh.
And, of course, let's not forget our old friend from high school, nu metal, with bands like Korn, Deftones, and Slipknot.
Which we can thank them for the microscopic, tiny, bladed beard that runs along just the chin.
Yeah.
Like an outline of your face.
I love it.
That, sadly, most of these men are on the softer side. And so it just sort of looks like a thong is wrapped around their head, just like with their fat just coming out from the bottom of it.
Yeah, Matt Hardy, one of the best tag teams of all time, the Hardy Boys. Matt Hardy has that look, but he's a badass dude.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. But none of them, as far as being the true distillation of evil, brutality, horror, and straight-up self-serious goofiness, can even come close to black metal.
Ooh. Now, black metal, they realize very, very beginning that they have to be actually evil.
Yeah.
Mm. In order to really make their mark, they have to go out there and they have to make an impression. They gotta change some shit around. They gotta bring some heat to themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, there are two distinct eras of black metal. The first wave being Venom, Bathory, and Hellhammer, with Burzum, Emperor, Dark Throne, and of course the focus of this series, Mayhem, coming in the second wave.
It's very fun yet nerdy names.
It's so nerdy.
Okay.
Oh, we are going to get into the nerdiness of this.
Burzum is it? We're going to get into Vikernes.
It's either Vikernes or Vikernes. I think Varg Vikernes probably makes more sense.
Varg Vikernes is the nerdiest man to ever play.
Really?
And he takes Lord of the Rings to be completely factually true.
Yeah.
Like, because the way he spins it. He has a whole viewpoint where he spins it into North myth, and he has a whole thing. It's very interesting and nerdy.
Yeah. Varg Vikernes also sounds like he should have gone into playing political satire music on the piano. That's a fun... Varg Vikernes talking about Gerald Ford.
Today's Last Podcast on the Left is brought to you by NatureBox. If you're anything like me, you eat like total garbage, especially when you're snacking. I like to snack when I'm editing shows, but most of the time, I reach for the awful stuff. But now, I reach for the good stuff with NatureBox. Nature Box has over 100 snacks that taste good and are all made from high-quality, simple ingredients. That means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel good about what you're eating. You can get honey Dijon pretzels. You can get waffle chips that are quite good. Plus, they add new snacks inspired by real customer feedback, the latest food trends, and professional chefs every month. It's so simple. Just go to naturebox.com, choose the snacks you want, and NatureBox will deliver them right to your door. There's no risk. If you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free, so you're sure to find your new snack obsession. Right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering our listeners 3 free snacks with your first order when you go to naturebox.com/LEFT. That's naturebox.com/LEFT for 3 free snacks with your first order. naturebox.com/LEFT.
Now, black metal would arguably not exist without an English band called Venom, who coined the term black metal in their 1982 album of the same name. Now, Venom were among the first to use overt, no room for interpretation, satanic imagery.
Ooh.
But the thing is with Venom is none of them took it seriously. They had the pentagrams, the goats, and fucking awesome songs with titles like In League with Satan. But these are mostly just like rock and rollers who like theatrics, and they just thought the Satan stuff was fun. They were just having fun with it.
They're so much, honestly, they're great. They're really great. They're a lot of fun. It's very like AC/DC if it was like totally about Satan.
Yeah.
They have a whole Black Mass album. But they were just doing it to get laid.
Yeah.
Sure. And of course, you have to give the kids something that'll anger their parents. And what angers parents more than satanic imagery?
Oh, without a doubt, man. But nevertheless, even though they didn't take it seriously, Venom laid down the foundations of the black metal aesthetic. Extreme opposition to anything Judeo-Christian except Satan.
Good.
Almost constant blasphemy and absolutely ridiculous theatrics. For example, the names. The guys in Venom. Their real names were Jeff, Tony, and Conrad.
Oh, my goodness. They sound like a bowling team.
Yes. They sound like the three guys at IT that you don't talk to. When you go past they stop talking when you go past the door because they're saying something weird in there.
Yeah, the guys at the desk who are just violently headbanging while they insert data onto an Excel sheet.
But on stage, Venom were Kronos, Mantis, and Abaddon.
Yeah. They don't sound like a bowling team at all.
No, man, that's like two real dog meat and the truth. That's just what we're doing, man.
Holy, that's so much cooler.
And that is, you know, that's a lot of fun. But the black metal guys took it all seriously. When one Norwegian black metal musician was confronted with the fact that Venom openly said on multiple occasions that the whole thing was just an act for entertainment purposes only, the black metaler said, quote,
"We choose to believe otherwise."
So it's basically everyone who listens to InfoWars and takes Alex Jones seriously.
Yes.
Okay.
But I also believe in the magical properties of choosing a name. Obviously, I think that if you really do believe, like a lot of these guys did, like Varg Vikernes did believe, which is that they are performing ritual magic. The part of it, it's you don a persona.
Yeah.
Like you come up with a new guy, and then that guy becomes your avatar to do magic work through.
Yeah, in no world does anyone want to go see Jeff, Tony, and Conrad. That's not happening. The seats are empty. They're just eating all the cheese for pay.
So after Venom came Merciful Fate, fronted by the wonderful soul that is King Diamond.
Yeah! Yes! Hail King Diamond!
Diamond took the theatrics a step further, attaching two human leg bones tied together in an upside-down cross to his mic for live shows. Have you ever seen footage of King Diamond? It's fucking sick.
I can't imagine anyone being like, there's no way this isn't serious. This is deadly serious. It's two human leg bones, of course.
How'd you get those leg bones?
There's just a poor girl in the back sitting on ice.
Go, King Diamond, go. I'm so glad to give something back to the concert. Now, if somebody could just tie up the ends of these pants.
That would be good.
So people can stop seeing my stubs.
Oh, like the pinky toe of the nihilist from Big Lebowski, just standing there, just sitting there like, I think I made a mistake. At some point, the mistake sets in.
Well, King Diamond also introduced the now almost standard black and white face paint. But while Venom were essentially drunken good timers using the whole thing to sell records and get laid, King Diamond actually believed in all the shit he was singing about. And then came Bathory in Sweden. Led by a man dubbed Quarthon, Bathory introduced the atmospheric yet relentless lo-fi sound that came to typify black metal.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
It's problematic.
Yeah,
when you
some
get
of the lyrics.
Into sort of what they talk about some shit.
We'll cover the problematic nature of some of their songs. We'll cover that here later.
Okay.
But before that, let's get a taste of Bathory's debut, considered by many to be the first black metal album. Let's listen to the first few seconds of a song called Hades.
Yes! Yes! Fuck yeah! This has been me fucking all week.
Yeah.
That is just a very, very, very small taste. Go listen to that entire album. It is fantastic.
It's incredible. You can almost visualize George Wendt as your father knocking on your door requesting you turn it down.
You gotta keep it down with that racket. Dad, I'm listening to Bathory. What happened to your voice, son?
I don't know. I just started singing along to the album and I sound like this now.
Good Lord. It's like Cyndi Lauper after smoking an entire pack of cigarettes.
Well, fun fact about Bathory, one of the founding members went on to become an extremely successful music video director responsible for such hits as Madonna's Ray of Light and Maroon 5's Moves Like Jagger.
Interesting.
Well, thank you, not thank you. I don't know what to, actually, I kind of like Ray of Light.
You like Ray of Light by Madonna?
If you think about how fun it is to be a ray of light, and then you're going to spread goodness, and then a whole series of other
things.
There's
nothing fun about that.
Well, it's fun.
There's nothing fun about that. We just listened to Bathory. And you're going to say you like Ray of Light by Madonna?
This reminds me of when all of my friends bought metal records, Sepultura, Pantera, and I bought Tragic Kingdom from No Doubt. I've told this story before. We put it in a 3-CD changer, and every time a song from No Doubt came on, they beat me up until it was done.
Yeah, of course.
Because I didn't realize that it's different.
Death of False Metal.
So it's Sepultura, who else? And
it was Sepultura, Pantera, and I was like, I'll get No Doubt.
So it's like...
Yeah, it's awesome music.
And then right afterwards...
There's spiderwebs. That was a song about relationships. That was a song about relationships. And why didn't he call her back? Have we thought about that? Gavin, I'm looking at you.
She's screening her phone calls.
Yeah, that's it. It's a whole song about just how she's screening
her phone. And spiderwebs, which are symbolic of like, oh my God, there's so many different options. I feel like I'm stuck in life. You guys wouldn't understand.
I'm going to wail on you. I'm going to get over there. I'm going to jump through the Skype, but I'm going to fucking drop kick you.
Yeah, I will say those songs could not have ended fast enough. As soon as they just beat the hell out of me.
So in 1998, Bathory began to move away from Satanism and really got into Norse mythology with the amazing album Blood, Fire, Death.
Ooh.
But... in addition to satanic and Norse themes, Bathory also dipped a toe into Nazi imagery, particularly in the song Under the Runes.
But it's kind of how it all gets flipped towards Nazi territory, right? Where, because like Under the Runes is supposed to be about this kind of concept, which Varg Vikernes also brings up about burning the churches. What he says is that what you're supposed to do symbolically, you're burning these things to get into the soil, because that's where our pagan roots are. Under the Runes means where it's like in certain churches, they would put runes around the sides of the doors. So basically, so you're burning them, which was, because that was supposed to just be a nod to the old pagan culture. Now we're going to replace it all with Christianity. They're supposed to be about like the idea of Asatru and like the pantheon of Norse gods and all that shit. But the thing is that as soon as the Nazis use it, you can't get it back.
Yeah.
Every single time they try to use it, because they put like, it was the, well, I forget what it was, the tri-hammers. It was some kind of symbol that they used.
Yeah.
It was like flaming hammers. That was like a thing that the Nazis used. And then they used that and just like, you know, they just ruined it. I'm sorry, man.
The Nazi branding was more powerful than Christianity, because you associate swastikas now, obviously, with them as opposed to the original purpose.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things we know about black metal is that it's got a hell of a Nazi problem, both in its past and currently, but so does every extreme music genre of the last 40 years.
Neil Young doesn't.
He's not extreme.
He's extreme.
He's not extreme.
No, I'm not going to talk. I don't want to talk too much on this episode. He needs a fucking maid because his house is filthy. Have you listened to Man Needs a Maid? Literally, it's a song about him being too lazy to clean his own apartment.
Yeah, that's really extreme, Ben.
It's extreme.
No.
honestly, the maid, every man needs a maid, I started realizing it's about, like, a dude being mad at women. He's mad at women.
Yeah.
I don't know what
he can't trust them. It's a weird song.
Yeah.
So you might say it's extreme.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if he's really trying to make a point with that. I think he's just mad at women.
He didn't go through the yellow pages to get a mate. He wrote a song about it. That's extreme.
Well, I mean, talking about extreme genres of music, dabbling around with Nazi stuff, back in the 70s, the punks, both in New York and England, regularly used Nazi imagery to piss off the general public, for whom World War II, especially in England, was a very real memory and a very recent memory.
They use these images because they want to be as scary as humanly possible. The whole point is to piss people off.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they use the thing what makes people really mad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. So it's like Nazi shit makes people mad, so they use it, and now it's like, well, but the problem is that they were really, really bad.
Yeah.
And so now you're just bad now.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's not a good bad. It's not helping you sell records bad.
It kind of helped the Sex Pistols to sell records, because that was one of the things that really pissed people off about him. Like, Sid Vicious loved his swastika t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it was either Johnny, I can't remember which one, it was either Johnny or D.D. Ramone, probably Johnny, who had a full collection of SS uniforms that he used to wear around New York City.
Huh.
And he used to suck dick for money.
Now,
he
that D.D. used to suck dick for money.
Don't confuse it.
They're two, trust me, D.D. and Johnny Ramone are two very different people.
Oh, but
just go read Please Kill Me for more information about that.
What a fun title that is.
Oh, yeah.
It's wearing a swastika in England during that time is equivalent to wearing a margarine shirt in Wisconsin. That's offensive. That's a fun joke.
What is wrong with you?
It's a because it's Buttertown. It's a butter state.
Are you writing for Reader's Digest?
I've got a big headlining update. I got a big headlining show October 20th in Ohio. I'm coming up with bits. I think I got a new opener.
Kissel did not like my joke. Kissel loved my joke because he wanted to talk about, I forgot what it was. He was talking about horses. Oh, yeah, about like, get rid of the Confederate soldiers, keep the horses as a part of the statue.
Sure.
That's a funny bit. And I said, well, I thought it would be a funny bit is about the idea that we consider horses to be athletes, right?
Oh,
like, you know, when Seabiscuit was shows like Athlete of the Year. But the thing is that, like, in Italy, they eat horse meat, right? So that'd be like if us in America just ate LeBron, like we ate LeBron steaks, and Kissel didn't like that material, that source material.
You know, I'm getting into black metal, and I can't laugh anymore. If I could laugh, I would laugh so hard at that hilarious bit about eating LeBron James.
Well, the point is, with few exceptions, both in black metal and in punk, they use this stuff for shock value. For fuck's sake, Joey Ramone's real name was Jeff Hyman.
Hyman.
Uh-oh.
He was about as Joey Ramone's about as Jewish as you could get. Now, most of these guys, they weren't taking it seriously. They weren't having rallies and meetings and printing off pamphlets. There's a big difference between using swastikas in art and marching side by side with Nazis.
Of course.
And trying to spread the word about it. I mean, these guys are using it for a very specific purpose. They're not just doing
it. The problem is it's just still dumb.
It's still dumb.
It's still dumb shit.
I'm not saying it's great, but it's still dumb. I mean, they're a bunch of kids.
Well, they're shaking. That's what art does. Art has to shake you out of the norm, otherwise you're not going to recognize it. Which American Horror Story, using the circles. Was it Tryptophobia? Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
A lot of people are getting upset with that, but it's like, that's what art is supposed to do. Shock you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of these guys still hold fascist, racist, and homophobic beliefs, to be sure. And some of them even assume leadership roles of a sort. For example, Varg Vikernes.
But he's just the worst one of all of them.
He's
obviously, he's fun though at the same time. He's a nerd.
Yeah, and I mean, in other words, some of these guys became what they pretended to be.
Mm.
But the vast majority of the ones in the black metal scene who said some pretty heinous shit, particularly Fenriz of Darkthrone, who was featured in the documentary Until the Light Takes Us, have left that shit far in the past.
Mm.
But nevertheless, all of this, the Satan, the Vikings, the Nazis, would all be fused together and taken extremely seriously by the black metal community in the early 90s with deadly results.
Yikes.
And speaking of dead, let's get into Mayhem.
Yeah! I love Mayhem. I would say in terms of all the albums I listen to, all of their shit is really good. It's really raw. It's very, like, to the point where, like, half of it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what they wanted. So when you listen to a song and I think, oh, that's a terrible song, and I'm like, they were right.
Yeah. I listened to them, and how do those drummers do it?
Man, it's that fucking black metal drumming and just metal drumming in particular, but specifically black metal drumming, I do not know how they do it.
They have to be more jacked than Carl Panzerum.
Yeah.
They must be huge yeah. under that shirt.
I mean, actually, I think a lot of them are my size.
What?
Yeah, some of them are really big, like Hellhammer was a pretty big dude,
good
but a lot
Lord.
Of them are just like these tight, ropey, skinny fucks like me.
A lot of ladies love the drummers.
Yeah, that's right.
They do.
With good reason.
Did you just take out your Invisalign before the show started, or?
Now, Mayhem, they are the fathers of the second wave of black metal, founded in 1984 by guitarist Øystein Ersith, a.k.a. Euronymous, a Greek name meaning Prince of Death.
Oh, this poor man. This poor. He is sort of a victim. We'll yeah. talk about this.
Euronymous is a. He's a very interesting character.
Yeah.
But he got in way over his head.
Yes.
He pushed things way too far, way past where he could handle them.
Yeah.
But we'll get into Euronymous.
Euronymous just sounds like a kind of a scientist that works out. It's a very, like, it's not the, it doesn't seem like, you know, it doesn't have the same, like, aggressiveness yeah. as Venom did.
Yeah.
Hello, Nurse Audrey. Thank you for coming into my laboratory. Hand me my beaker over there. Crushed it. Oh, too strong to be a scientist, aren't I? Now, Nurse Audrey, remove my lab coat and what do you see? Oh, yes. Nothing underneath. Where are you going?
Euronymous.
Well, Euronymous was joined by bassist Jørn Stubberud, a.k.a. Necro Butcher, and drummer Jan Axel Blomberg, a.k.a. Hellhammer, who is yeah. one of the aforementioned people who always have been and always will be real stain of a human being. Hellhammer's a piece of shit.
It's a great name, though. It's Euronymous, Necro Butcher, and Hellhammer.
Yeah.
I mean, two out of three, mm-hmm. pretty badass.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. But here's a clip from Mayhem's first EP, Death Crush, from the song of the same name.
I just picture the scene from Wayne's World when Garth is like, get out of my way. And the guy's like, what did he call him, a nerd or something?
Excuse me.
You should see me at the gym listening to this shit. When I am at the gym, like, I am just going crazy. It's great. I must be very scary.
I love the idea of you at the gym just like curling 10-pound weights, just aggressively listening to this next to dudes just like jacked up.
Me and my bands. I'm like doing the bands, like all my tension training.
Oh, man, God, I love Death Crush so much.
Absolutely.
So much fun.
Just picturing Henry bringing his own Thighmaster to the gym, just lying down.
Excuse me, can I have a towel? Can I have a towel? I don't want to get any of the floor mats wet or anything, because I know how unhygienic that is. Excuse me.
Slowly moving my knees in and out. Yeah.
And that EP also has one of my favorite metal song names, Chainsaw Gutsfuck.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's that one all about?
So in 1988, Mayhem got a package from a vocalist named Per Undlin containing a demo tape, a letter, and a teeny little crucified mouse.
Oh, I hate that.
What did he start, a podcast about serial killers and true crime? And that's the shit that you get in the mail all the time?
Oh, yeah. Was it a real mouse?
It was a real mouse.
Leave the mouse alone.
And it wasn't like taxidermied nice or anything like that. It was a decaying, rotting mouse that was just nailed to a little cross.
Unbelievable.
You mean a great application to be in a fucking black metal band.
Yeah.
I guess so.
He got in, too.
No kidding.
Yeah, he joined the band as a vocalist and took on the pseudonym Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little on the nose, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the reason why he called himself Dead was because he actually believed that he was dead. He believed that he had died as a child and was still somehow on this earth, living, as he said, in a dream that he would soon wake up from.
The only things that I can hope for is that one day I wake up in the bedroom of a nobleman as a beautiful, nude, illuminated boy, because deep inside of me somewhere, that is what I'm trying to find within my music, is the wonderful, innocent, nude, illuminated boy that is inside every mine.
Your name is Dead, huh?
Okay. It's pronounced Deed.
Oh, I see.
Now, it's speculated that Dead actually suffered from Cotard syndrome.
What's that?
It's the same mental illness that Richard Che suffered from. It's
really?
Where you may remember Cotard syndrome from. That's the one that drove Richard Che to drink the blood of his victims in order to replace his own.
Can you imagine, though, if Richard Che actually learned how to play an instrument?
Hey, everyone! Welcome to my show! Honestly, I go through a lot of horseshit in day to day. I don't know if you can tell, but my eyeballs are backwards. But you guys make me feel good. You guys make me feel at home.
This is the best.
Okay, and 1, 2, 3, 4. I am Mickey Mouse. He's my friend.
Totally at home. Totally fine.
I love it.
Today's other sponsor for Last Podcast on the Left is Stamps.com. Going to the post office can be such a drag. Lines are long, it's always out of the way. Thankfully, you can avoid the hassle of the post office and instead mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international, with Stamps.com. Stamps.com lets you buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Simply click, print, mail, and you're done. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. Plus, they'll send you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage and helps you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Even get discounts you can't get at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. We use Stamps.com here at Last Podcast on the Left because we're a small business. We know that a lot of small businesses out there that listen to Last Podcast on the Left, they mail stuff out. We got all kinds of people that make cool shit. Stamps.com, it's a fast and easy way for you to take care of all that stuff. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in LEFT. That's Stamps.com. Enter LEFT. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Now, this belief of Dead, that he was dead, of course, led him to be obsessed with death in all its forms. He carried around a dead crow in a plastic bag and would sniff it before a show so he could sing, quote, with the stench of death in his nostrils.
It's just so lame. Isn't that? That is so corny.
Yeah. It's super. These guys are corny as fuck.
They all said the same shit about how, like, everyone asked me, like, so what was Dead like in person? And all the people in Mayhem would be like,
Dad was very depressed. He loved Transylvania, and he yearned for the peace of the coffin. Because that is what his whole thing was, is that he was a vampire, and that he was also a werewolf, and he would just draw the... His drawings are actually pretty sweet.
They are.
They're very, like, dark. They're very, very dark, but they always just be like, Dad is depressed. And it cuts to a whole movie of him just dancing in a field with, like, because he had long, beautiful Swedish hair.
Yes.
Like, he just looks like... He looks like a beautiful woman from behind. And then when you flip him around, he's just a horrible, gross, skinny, Marcus body man.
Sniffing a dead crow.
Yeah.
What is going on with this guy?
Yeah, he would also bury his clothes days before a show and then dig them up on the night of to get both the look and smell of being buried under the earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very committed.
Yeah,
I give him credit for that.
Yeah, and one time he even asked his bandmates to bury him alive so he could get the paleness of a corpse.
Could have just used makeup.
Yeah, well, that's what he ended up doing because his friends would not bury him alive.
Yeah,
because
he's not David Blaine. He's not Copperfield. He's never going to come back.
Yeah, so he did use makeup, and he became the originator of the infamous black metal corpse paint that is as much of a tradition in the scene as band logos that are impossible to read.
Hmm.
Corpse paint is exactly what it sounds like. It is an exaggerated use of black and white face paint to make one look like, what else? A corpse.
Hmm.
And here's where things get really interesting in the history of black metal, specifically in Norway. Now, whether on purpose or not, a lot of the traditions in black metal have very real cultural roots in Norse mythology, specifically in a legend called the Wild Hunt.
Ooh,
the Wild Hunt!
Now, yeah, what's the Wild Hunt all about?
Well, the Wild Hunt, known in the native tongue as the Uskarai, were harbingers of doom, a gang of dead souls led by Woden that rode through the night sky, sometimes flying down from the clouds to kidnap innocents, to take them away to the underworld, causing mass destruction and mischief upon the way.
Come get me, Woden. Come get me. Tongue out emoji. Hey, sorry, I'm so random. Come get me, Woden. Take me with you, please.
Uh-oh.
They would just... But But what I do like is that this is the Odin in a certain form as the soul bringer and the king of Dark Souls. What you start to find out is that Odin in mythology is kind of like Bugs Bunny, where he takes on personas. Like certain shit where one he's like a chieftain.
Bugs Bunny was the best you could come up with to compare him to.
No, he's got me. He's got me hooked here. I'm interested to see where this
goes. I'm educating. Yeah. But it's like he did. It just he would take on roles to play certain facets of the Godhead. Where it's like the idea of like the wisdom bringer. Each one caused pain to him. Where you would like pluck out his eyes. He became a woman and was fucked. And he said it's just he'd also like do the thing that was like anti the idea. Of other Norse gods where he would perform female magic, which was it's all about duality, which also then harkens back to Satanism again, which they use because the idea of using the Baphomet sigil, the original idea of like the man woman, you know, living dead duality that all of his shit's supposed to represent.
So if Bugs Bunny is Odin, is Elmer Fudd this fella here? The fella that we're talking about.
God damn it.
Which fella? Dad?
Dad. I forgot his name because it's like not, it's a concept, not a name.
Yeah, and Henry, you mentioned the Satanism just a little bit. Is it really the Satanism that these guys performed that they subscribed to? It was not LaVeyan Satanism. And in fact, they fucking hated LaVeyan Satanism. They despised any sort of humanist concept. These guys were into medieval Satanism. Oh, yes.
From my understanding, it doesn't seem like anyone likes Anton LaVey.
I think he's fun.
But the official Church of Satan doesn't like him.
Well, it's because they got too serious. He even just said, someone literally just tweeted a quote at me saying that a good musician has to have a sense of humor, because if not, that they're too pretentious to be a good magician. Like, you have to, like, the Anton LaVey was, he sold it. He was the salesman of Satanism.
I see. All right.
Well, back to the Wild Hunt. They would destroy roofs, clog chimneys, nail doors shut, and, according to an article reprinted in Lords of Chaos about the similarities between black metal and the Wild Hunt, they would lock up the he-goat in the kitchen.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What's a he-goat?
I think it's just a goat.
I actually think that's a good new term for saying your fly's down.
Yeah.
So you better lock up that he-goat.
That's where the goat wants to be.
The goat wants to be in the kitchen, and that's mischievous, Ben.
Isn't that interesting? Can you imagine being the poor parents of these kids going down at midnight to try to get some milk because you got a damn stomach ache and you see the goat in there and you're like, they did the he-goat. They did the he-goat trick again, Barb. Good Lord, I knew we should have never had him.
No, the Wild Hunt were, of course, fueled by alcohol and would raid beer stashes, emptying the kegs and leaving them filled with either their own urine or what sounds like massive quantities of horse piss.
Yeah, they're the Tridelts from fucking Animal House.
There is something so fraternity about all of this.
And they were also said to dress themselves up like ghosts, painting around their eyes with coal, just like black metalers. And their coming would be paired with a, quote, hellish din with the Wild Hunt both singing and speaking in falsetto.
I hope that none of you can sleep because we are here. Just me and my horse and my dog and my crow and my good friend Woden. I am Woden, highest voice of all. I am Woden. All of you will fall to the hands of Woden.
Yep. And that correlates perfectly with the first time the sentence was ever uttered in Norway. Get off my lawn! Get off my lawn!
It could be argued that black metal's trademark screeching vocals are a falsetto of a sort.
I'm not screeching, I'm singing. This is just your being racist because this is my accent.
Sounds painful.
And just like in black metal, the Wild Hunt rarely ever used their real names, and they were all said to be between 15 and 25, the same age range as the Norwegian black metal scene in the early 90s. Hmm. But most strikingly, the aim of the Wild Hunt in Norway was to punish people who violated Norse tradition. But we'll get more into that later when we get to the church burnings.
Ooh.
Now, it could be that this, as is pointed out in Lords of Chaos, is some sort of like Jungian cultural memory the black meddlers were essentially drawing from a collective unconsciousness to recreate legends of the past unbeknownst to them.
Hmm.
But it could also be that they just read a fucking book thought this whole thing was cool and drew inspiration from it.
Could be.
But these guys weren't really book readers. Euronymous maybe was a little closer to a researcher. It's really Varg Vikernes that brought, like, the idea of being a Nordic scholar into metal, yeah. It seems like, because he went really deep.
He went super deep, but he was the first one to go super deep. And this should have been already been going on for a while by the time Varg showed up.
Yeah, and Dead just took the corpse paint. It sounds like they said they talked about it like it was Kiss. Because they loved Kiss, and so they were like, we should do something.
Yeah, actually, I heard, but that's the thing, is that there's always contradictions, because I read an interview yesterday that said that the exact opposite, that he wasn't trying to look like Kiss, that he was trying to actually look like a corpse.
Interesting.
Because Dead was very serious.
He was.
That's kind of what Kiss was trying to look like, wasn't it?
Like corpses? No, they were trying to look like kitty cats.
But that's fun!
Yeah. They were trying to up the theatrics.
Yes.
Because one was a star man, and the other one had a long tongue.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
So pre-Dead, Mayhem was mostly concerned with death, violence, and having, quote, a fucking good time.
Cool.
But it seems like when Dead joined, things got a little more serious and a little darker.
It was like when I joined Last Podcast on the Left in the third episode.
Actually, they just kind of like that.
Well, they didn't get more serious.
Yeah, more deep, more real.
Yeah.
Could be.
All right. Now, at one show, Dead broke a beer bottle halfway through and cut his arm so deep he made himself sick from blood loss, but still finished the show.
Good for him.
Gushing blood, and when they took him to the hospital after, he was told it was too late for stitches, so he just got a fucking badass scar.
And so they literally partied around him in the after party while Dead sat on a couch saying, like, I wish I could have a good time, but I don't feel good. And they were like, we know you don't feel good, man. You fucking cut your, you slash your fucking wrist tonight. And he was like, it was metal, but, like, this is kind of the consequences of your actions, man. Yeah. And he's just like, just somebody blow, like, some weed, like, at me, man. Because also, like, I have a weed test coming soon for my work in McCracken's, which is the Norwegian version of McDonald's.
Oh, I love it. You know, Mick Foley used to do this every single night, though, and he never complained once.
Oh, I know. And the thing was that this was not an in-the-moment thing. This wasn't a super in-the-moment.
Oh, he pre-planned this?
Oh, he not only pre-planned it, he was backstage before the show jabbering about it. Like, I'm going to cut myself tonight. Just watch me. Just watch. And then I, fucking do it, Dad. Just fucking do it. If you're going to talk about it so much, just fucking do it. He's like, fine, I will do it. I will do it.
Oh, but everybody showed up, because he would talk about how, like, Mayhem played maybe six shows.
Somewhere on there.
Really? Yes.
A lot of these black metal guys didn't play live shows.
Yeah, because there wasn't enough of a scene. So you're talking about, these are, well, they would talk about, like, because all the people in the documentary Until the Light Takes Us that talks about this night, they were talking about, they were like, we all knew, the whole metal scene knew that Dead was going to cut himself, and we knew and we tried to stop him, but he said he wanted to see people's reactions when his blood was spilled onto the stage. And it was 25 people.
Wow.
All showed up, all saying the same shit, standing with Dead, because I've done comedy shows like this.
Of course.
I was in the black metal version of comedy when it came to Murder Fist. That's what we were. And so I remember being half the crowd of a show, 10 deep, like just sitting there, and we're all being like, we're going to cover each other in like liquid fake shit tonight. And everyone's being like, yeah, man, cool, yeah. And it's like you walk right, all right, see you at the show. Yeah, cool, man, see you at the show. You walk 5 feet forward, you're on stage.
You're on stage.
You just do the show.
As soon as the sketch is done, you're like, and now I've got to be an audience member. So you rush back to watch the sketch, and then you come. That's exactly what comedy is starting out for the first 20 years or so.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Now, Mayhem shows, even though they only played a few, and even though there really weren't that many people at them, they were the stuff of legend. They would use decayed pig's heads on stakes that they bought from the local butcher to line the front of the stage. And a lot of times, the band would start the show by throwing a big pig head into the middle of the crowd, which usually caused them to lose about half their audience immediately.
There was actually...
Hell yeah, dude.
There was a
Hell
band
yeah.
that...
They shouldn't be there, man. They can't fucking... You should... Don't be there. Fucking leave,
Yeah,
dude.
That's what they said. They said, if they can't handle the pig's heads, since they can't handle Mayhem, so just throws a fucking pig's head on set.
Well, I guess they can't handle being in a butcher shop either. I mean, it's... I think it would be scarier if they they beheaded the pig out live on stage or something. There was a band, I believe you saw it, didn't you, Marcus? Or maybe Holden saw it from the Round Table of Gentlemen and Wizard and the Bruiser that played at Brooklyn Bowl, and they had a huge vat of pig's blood, and they kind of threw it, or I don't know what it was on. It was on some sort of string, and the entire crowd left, and I think the health department shut down the show.
I don't know if it was Brooklyn Bowl. I think that might have been Irving Plaza.
It was a venue in Brooklyn.
It was at, that was pretty recent.
Or a gutter. It was gutter, as a matter of fact, which is also a bowling alley bar here in Brooklyn. Yeah. But yes, people got very upset.
They got very
mad. A restaurant.
Yes.
And it was also a restaurant.
That's right, that's right.
And so when he has that pig blood, I get being total metal, all right? We used to throw raw chickens into the audience. We thought it was funny. You know what I mean? But people are going to leave. They're sitting there trying to eat chips and salsa. Uh-huh. You can't have pig blood everywhere. Because I remember seeing tweets about it. People would be like, man, really sad that they had to cancel. I forget the name of that band. It was like so sad they had to cancel that show tonight, man. I was really looking forward to seeing tomorrow. Guess they got pig blood all over the chef's area. And it was like, it's just all these sad metalheads being I guess they really should have kept it towards the stage.
Yeah, in real life, it sounds cool. It sounds like G.G. Allen. I would never, ever want to see G.G. Allen in real life, but I like the stories.
Yeah, it was a black metal band. Yes. It was Wu-Tang. Who is fucking awesome, too. Yeah. Like, I'd recommend getting into them. But yeah, they threw pig's blood, and what else did they throw? I think that's what it was. They threw a goat skull full of pig's blood out into the audience.
Which sounds awesome. And knowing the hipsters in Williamsburg, it is good again to snap them out of their reality.
Yeah.
Listen, we've all had a very fun time tonight, haven't we? We raised hell for the devil himself. Can we get the goat's head back? I only have one, and we need it for tomorrow. Tomorrow night's show, we're going on tour to Charlotte, South Carolina.
Where do they get all the goat's blood? That's what I want to know.
Oh, you just go to a butcher, man. You can get
blood from a butcher?
You go to a butcher and you ask him for a bunch of blood, he'll give it to you.
All right.
Yeah, butchers will sell anything. They'll do anything to make a buck.
Good people.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the guys that were at the Mayhem shows when they were throwing these pig's head out into the crowd, they absolutely loved it. In fact, one idiot that was trying to be more metal than the rest of them, he took a huge bite out of one of the raw, decayed pig's heads. But of course, it just made him violently ill.
Yes, you're a person. You're just a human biological being.
So much time in the black metal scene seems to be spent by guys holding their stomachs, just going like, man, I just don't, like, feel good. You know, I don't feel... I'm, like, sick, like, all the time, man. I think it's, like, it's fucking 4 Celsius out. I don't even know what temperature that is, dude. It's fucking cold as shit out here. It never stops raining. I chewed on a pig's head last night. What was I even thinking? I gotta go into the office tomorrow.
That's probably what gives them malignant defecation. Perhaps that's how they come up with all the names of these songs. They just eat rotted foods, and they're like, I've got one called Regurgitation of the Gibbon. Giblets. How'd you come up with that name? I regurgitated giblets.
It's all just from hanging out in green rooms before the show.
They're just like Adam Richman from Man vs. Food, the metal edition. I'll eat the skull.
But it all came to an end in 1991 when Dead stuck a shotgun in his mouth and pulled the trigger.
He was too fragile for this world. He's definitely the Kurt Cobain of the black metal scene. And besides just literally because he committed suicide, he is like that because he fucking kicked off this whole... He was like the rock star of the black metal scene.
Okay.
Yeah, he's one of the few guys in the black metal scene that nobody has a bad word to say about.
Dead?
Yeah, dead.
Really?
Yeah, usually these guys talk so much shit about it. They talk so much childish little girl shit about each other constantly behind the back. Like, he's not as metal as he says he is.
Yeah.
But Dead is the only one that pretty much universally everyone says, this guy was the real fucking deal.
They're like radio DJs with no actual content. They just pick fights with one another, and then that's the whole reality show aspect of it.
Our last sponsor for Last Podcast on the Left this week is the new Paramount Pictures film, Mother. A couple's relationship is tested when uninvited guests arrive at their home, disrupting their tranquil existence. From filmmaker Darren Aronofsky, director of Black Swan and Requiem for a Dream, Mother stars Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, and Michelle Pfeiffer in this riveting psychological thriller about love, devotion, and sacrifice. Mother is darkly intelligent, well acted, and rumored to be one of the most controversial films to come out of Hollywood in a long time. It's the kind of smart and scary psychological thriller director Aaron Aronofsky is known for, and is sure to generate a lot of discussion after the credits have ended, and you don't want to miss out on that. Mother is out in theaters September 15th. Go and see it, and don't miss the movie everyone will be talking about.
So the story goes is that Euronymous, the guitarist, came home to the house where Mayhem all lived and found the door was locked. And since they inexplicably only had one key between them, Euronymous crawled in through the only open window, the one leading into Dead's room.
No, I remember when I lived with Eddie in Tallahassee. We lived in an apartment that the roommate before I moved in had destroyed the lock on the door because he was drunk, had lost his keys, and so he kicked in the doorknob, right? So the door never worked, and we never wanted to tell the manager to come fix the door because we were selling weed out of there and we didn't want the manager to come around, so we just left that door unlocked, broken, but we had a stool in front of it.
Good.
So our system was, as if the stool got knocked over, we know somebody came in the house. And so one night, but also Eddie for a while had kept an AK-47 for show in the house when he would do it, because we used to fuck around with it because it was fun. We used to go shoot it, and eventually he sold it when he lost everything after he got busted for selling weed. And so when he'd one time
of information
that,
away on Eddie here.
This is all
I think he's disgusting. Not, yes.
But yes, the door opened one time and he heard the stool go over, the knock over, and he's like, "Hey, who's down there?" Like from upstairs where we were, because we had a 2-floor apartment, and he got no response. So Eddie grabbed the AK-47, he racked it, and he heard, "Plumber. Plumber's here."
Scary day to be a plumber. At the Larson house, that must have been an unfortunate day all around for that poor plumber.
The Larson Zabrowski home?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. We did real good.
The PTSD, that poor plumber. Honey, you don't want to know what I saw today.
And when Euronymous got inside, he found Dead lying on his side, slumped against the wall with his wrist cut, a shotgun in his lap, a suicide note next to him, and half his head missing.
Jeez.
But instead of freaking out or calling the police or anything a normal person might do, Euronymous left the house, bought a disposable camera, and took pictures of Dead's corpse. And these pictures were later stolen and used as the album art for a live bootleg called Dawn of the Black Hearts, which is now generally accepted as a part of Mayhem's discography.
It sounds very, invasive, but you get the feeling this is probably what Dead wanted.
It's exactly what he wanted. I think there's a part of him exactly what I wanted, and he talked about too, it's like, you know, in black metal, they notoriously don't have a sense of humor, but his suicide note was, excuses for the blood, cheers. That was the only thing he wrote. It's exactly what he wanted to do. He was very, very depressed. He wanted it. He had fantasized about it, and he finally built it. So apparently, it was sparked by, apparently Varg had sent him bullets in the mail. Like in a way of, like, you're talking about suicide all the time. We're going to talk about this, but it was like...
Allegedly. Sent him bullets.
Allegedly. Yeah. You know, they did have a sense of humor, though. They just needed a great podcast like Last Podcast on the Left to open it up.
Yeah.
And let them know you can laugh at the dark stuff. It's okay.
Oh, there's plenty of guys out there, black metal guys. I mean, Lupe that we mentioned earlier. He has also the gay black metal southerner.
Yes, it's a great character.
Yeah. HailSatanYall.com.
Oh.
Now, Euronymous then collected fragments of Dead's skull and later made them into necklaces that he bestowed upon people in the black metal scene that he deemed, quote-unquote, worthy. Now, there are rumors that Euronymous kept, cooked, and ate some of Dead's brains, but those rumors were probably started by Euronymous himself, who could really only think of all the publicity the band was going to get from the suicide when he found Dead's body. And to that end, he let rumors fly that he himself had murdered Dead. He said, quote,
"Dead killed himself, but it is okay to let people believe that I might have done it, because that will create rumors about Mayhem."
You know, this is before Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. There's other ways to get exposure now.
But he understood, like, the one thing that black metal completely understood from the very beginning was publicity.
Yeah.
And understanding that the rumor can do a lot of work for you. Like, the more you spread the idea of legend, which kind of actually worked to the weird Norse background of a lot of the ideas in the music, of this idea of building things that are larger in life, things that are going to stand the test of time, create true fear. Black metal was supposed to be something that was real. It was supposed to, like, you were supposed to walk the walk. So the reason why also Dead gets nothing but respect is because he's the only one of these fuckers to actually kill himself. It's the one they're all like, because that's all they wanted to do. That's all they've been talking about in every song that they wrote the entire time, about killing yourself and killing other people.
Right.
So it's like, you know, so he was the most metal.
Cobain-esque. Yeah. And that's why we say, don't do it. We prefer everyone living.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah. If you're having suicidal thoughts or anything like that, reach out to someone. Call Suicide Hotline.
It's not metal.
It's not metal.
It's not metal. You know what's metal? You know what's more metal? Getting to the show.
That's an awesome thing to do.
You know, and that's the amazing thing about some of these guys. They seem to not really give a shit about each other, who lived and who died. The way they casually talk about death would unsettle a serial killer. But there are a few exceptions. Bassist Necro Butcher was devastated when Uranus called him with the news and said, quote,
Denison, hey, Necro Butcher, what's up? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mrs. Necro Butcher. Is Necro Butcher home? I just need to talk to him on the phone. Dead has done something really cool. He killed himself.
And he did actually say that. He said, Dead has done something really cool. And as far as the reasons why Dead killed himself, Euronymous took this as an opportunity to blow out the story even more, trying to sound real cool, but actually coming off like a little petulant child. This shit is pathetic. This is his actual statement to the press.
We have declared war. Dead died because the Trent people have destroyed everything from the old black metal death metal scene. Today, quote-unquote death metal is something normal, accepted, and funny. Arg. Which is real. I didn't even put that in there. And we hate it.
Oh.
It used to be spikes and chains, leathers, and black clothes. And this was the only thing Dead lived for, as he hated this world and everything which lives in it.
Yeah, he's a child.
So after Dead's suicide, Euronymous actually seemed more hyped up about the scene as ever and opened up a record store in Oslo with his parents' money called Helvete, which is the Norwegian word for hell. And really,
to hell, all of you. Come, welcome to hell. Please just, if you would, don't put any of the spiked pants on and any of these stools. My mom still got that. It's just a down payment on there. I have to get a couple of payments in, okay? No. Please do not put any pig's blood on any of these counters. My mom just put this, there's a down payment only on all of these things. I do not own these things yet.
I cannot believe he used his parents' money to start a record store called hell.
Oh, yeah. And then later when the media really started getting involved after the church burnings and all of that shit, he wouldn't let the press into the store because his grandma told him not to.
That's a great reason not to do something, though. Grandmother.
And he also had to apologize for wearing a white sweater once to a rehearsal for Mayhem. And he said, I'm sorry, my grandma gave it to me and she wanted me to wear it and I saw her this afternoon.
That's adorable.
It is adorable.
It is adorable.
That's the thing, is that, like, these guys, like, they took themselves so seriously for a bunch of kids hanging out in a record store paid for by their parents.
Right.
Now, Euronymous's idea was that he would sell all kinds of metal records to bring people in, even the so-called trend music, as he called it, like Napalm Death. He specifically name-dropped Napalm Death.
Okay.
Now, he said, quote,
this would help us earning money so that we can order more evil records for evil people. But that was true, because that's what they said. It's like, black metal is only for truly evil people. You have to be evil. Everybody around is evil. And now what Euronymous is very smartly doing is creating a hub for black metal where it's got a nice little basement where people go to. They spray painted a really shitty pentagram on the wall where all the bands would go to fuck, like, at night when their parents were home, where people would crash that were visiting from other places. He created an epicenter that allowed it to be, like, he became leader of it. And then he could say, that's real, that's true, that's real metal, that's false metal, and hold court.
Like a nerdy, stinky Playboy mansion for no one that actually wants to have fun.
Oh, listen to this shit. Their original idea for the shop was to make it pitch dark inside so people would have to carry torches to browse records.
That's fucking awesome.
That sounds fun. In no way is that a fire hazard. That's totally cool.
Yeah. After realizing that was a stupid fucking idea, they settled for just making it very dark instead.
It is dark. That's what they said. A lot of times they would even talk about that in interviews. They were like, Elveta, man, you know, like, it's no joke. You know, like, it really was like, honestly very dark. Like, like to a point where it's discouraging to people trying to buy a record because, like, I'm going there, I'm trying to spend money, but right. I can't read. I'm bumping into things. He's screaming at me about how he hasn't finished the down payment on half of these things that are in the store, and I'm like, well, maybe if we put like a fucking lamp, even some like candles or something, dude.
Right. Maybe not a great businessman.
Oh, he was an awful businessman, which is gonna possibly lead to some shit later on, at least a theory of some of the shit that happened later on. And so the black metal scene finally had a hangout, a central gathering place for black metal musicians and fans. And people would actually show up in the middle of the day, painted up with corpse paint, to try to be a part of the group.
Because that's fun.
He said it was a mandate. Right, it became out of being like, you have to go, you have to impress Euronymous.
Yeah.
So these poor dudes would just show up and just like on the bus, like full corpse paint, like being driven by their parents out there, just being like, don't wait for me outside, mom. No, you just go around the corner, go to the fucking store. I have to go talk to Euronymous, the king of evil.
Oh my God. It's like a Studio 54 for goths.
Oh yeah, a lot of these guys came from wealthy secular families.
No kidding, they had time to dress up in paint and go to a record store.
Yeah, in other words, these were guys who were desperately looking for something to rebel against. And the best they could come up with, in the words of some of their own members, was that life with Norway's high standard of living was too good.
Uh-oh.
That's what they said. And Norway was also a very liberal country.
Yeah.
The idea that what Varg Vikersson ends up getting is 21 years is the most you'll be for arson and murders and all of this shit. Like, it's a very lax prison system. It's very, like, it's a sweet place.
Oh, yeah. It's too nice.
Yeah, it's way too nice. Yeah, in fact, when some of these guys got arrested later on, they were saying, like, this prison is too nice. No. It's way too nice. I've got a toilet here. It should be much worse than this.
Oh, my God.
He was screaming about how he wanted to be put into a dungeon.
Yeah.
They all should have they need to be sent to New Orleans.
They need to be sent to Angola.
Yeah. Just understand what difficult life is.
Yeah, yeah. Let's put you in a supermax prison and see how brutal you think that is.
Yeah, man, get their wig split, dude.
Uh-oh.
Get their fucking butt cheeks spread. They're not gonna fucking handle it. They run into Big Herc. They're not gonna be able to handle it.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not saying that's good or that's better or anything.
They wanted
like
it
that,
though.
But that's what they want. So by mid-1991, the black metal scene revolving around Helvete included bands like Dark Throne and Immortal and Emperor, who I fucking love, and, of course, Mayhem. These guys were referred to by Euronymous as the Norwegian Black Circle.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But there was...
Sounds like a circle jerk, but everyone is soft.
It sounds like the thing that is forming in this chair from the puddle of sweat that happens from my butt every time we do the show.
Things the audience didn't want to know, but now do, from Henry Zebrowski.
But there was one band that was the driving force of the infamous crimes that most people know the Norwegian black metal scene for. That band was Burzum.
Ooh.
And it only had one member that we have mentioned many times already, Varg Vikernes, a.k.a. Count Grishnak.
I actually think his original name is more scary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just go with Varg Vikernes.
Is it his real name like Steven?
Christian.
He changed it from
real,
Varg, yeah.
His real name is Christian Vikernes.
That's also good.
Yeah, and then he changed it to Varg, and then he gave himself the pseudonym Count Grishnak. And we'll get to know Count Grishnak in all his bullshit glory in episode 2.
Count Grishnak sounds like he loves M&Ms, but only the brown M&Ms. And he has them all separated.
Well, what I hope is that by next episode that you guys read all three of the Lord of the Rings trilogy so that you can understand some of the hot wisdom that Count Grishnak throws down because he breathes a lot into it.
I think we're going to have to, we'll have that nerd alert on full blast the next episode,
yeah.
I think.
You listen to Varg, he's like, I hate the hobbits. The hobbits are just terrible. I'm more identified with
We've got a nerd alert.
The elves remind him of pompous Jews. They're like, wow.
What a psychopath.
That's like, what a way to flip it.
Oh, my God.
It was never supposed to be offensive.
No,
it's
not.
You just got all the way to the bottom of it.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that is part one Norwegian black metal. Very informative. And get out there and listen to some music, I guess, that might blow your minds.
Yeah, this first episode, this is just laying the groundwork for everything. It's just what you need to know. know to really understand how all this ended up in fucking, you know, over 40 churches being burned and two murders.
It got really serious. It's kind of interesting to see how, like, it was this nerdy, real movement of just people, like, because they all made really cool music.
It's
like,
great music.
During this time period, really cool music's going around. They're really, they're dedicated people. They're trying to make, I like the idea of the total, like, the non-ironic, like, we're into this. Like, I love real metal. I love that people that are really, like, are true metalheads. But it's crazy how it spins into murder.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes a whole thing where it's, like, a rep. People's rep is, like, is too much. It's why, like, the same thing with the East Coast, West Coast rap battles were happening, too, where it's, like, there's something about reputation and you're standing on the street.
Yep.
That, like, that pride is really evil.
And yeah. Then, of course, there's a lot of people, I don't know about the Norwegian black metal scene, but in the hip-hop reference, making money off of it.
Yeah.
They love it. I don't think it was quite there with them.
No,
but,
it was not quite there with them.
Yeah.
But the thing is about these guys, about rep and about street cred, is that there's a reason why shit got more intense after Dead killed himself. Because Dead upped the ante.
Yes.
Oh. You know, Dead took it to the next level, because at this point, these guys were still just hanging out. Yeah, they were talking about doing evil shit. They were talking about being evil. But then when Dead killed himself, that upped it to the next phase.
You know?
So Euronymous had to start talking more shit about being evil and about being more metal than anything else. And then when Varg comes into the scene, it's pretty much Euronymous and Varg egging each other on and just trying to one-up each other. And then it eventually ends in the deaths of three people, because a lot of people just say it's two murders, but a fucking fireman died during one of those church burnings.
Think about that. You know, the best way to do it, the best way to up the ante is what Alice Cooper did. Just start playing golf. There is nothing more metal than just throwing a lateral move.
Make a new metal. Like, show new you, like, metal. Hey, look, I can wear white. But that's what we're also going to find out what Euronymous was doing too. There was a point where Euronymous was really into, he was really into electronic music, and he was slowly but surely trying to bring it into the scene, and and people did not enjoy that.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, he was Euronymous was apparently a huge Brian Eno fan.
Really?
That is not shocking, actually.
Yeah,
I'm a gigantic Brian Eno fan, so that kind of made it like, hey, Euronymous, all right,
everyone, thank you so much for listening. Let's see here. We want to thank everyone who came out to our shows in North Carolina. Seriously, just such a wonderful, awesome experience. Everyone was so cool.
Maybe one of the sweetest groups of
people. They were awesome.
Honestly, everywhere I went, I got talked to by like waitresses and waiters and people around, like on the street, bartenders. Everybody's so cool.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. North Carolina is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So thank you all for being so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got to hang out with a bunch of fans there, like super fucking cool people. Yeah, we want to just thank y'all for being really fun.
Why did we stay out to 3:30?
We stayed out till 3:30.
This was a rare occasion. I was home by 12:30.
Yeah.
Because my eyes went cross when I was talking to someone, and I was like, time to go.
Yeah.
You were on autopilot at one point. I saw you, and you were just like, what if we just burn this whole bar down? Like, you said, like, some weird cryptic thing, and I was like, Kissel, you all right? And I was just like, I'm just saying, playing with ideas.
Not sure if I requested arson, but perhaps.
Yeah.
But, yes, that was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, and then me and Henry ended up at a windowless bar talking with a bunch of people about the Mongolians and the Great Plague.
Well, I'm happy you guys made it out alive, and we'll be in Toronto coming up very soon as well. Another Just for Laughs festival. But if we're learning anything from today's show, it's not just for laughs.
It's not. No. It's not. It's also for edutainment.
Yeah, we're coming
guys,
to Toronto.
If you please buy those tickets to Toronto. Toronto's going to be a good show.
Yeah, it's going to be on September 22nd. That's coming up. And then can't wait to come to Pittsburgh. We're sold out for that show, but just keep a watch on Twitter. A lot of times if people can't come, they tweet at us and we'll retweet it. So that's a great reason to go follow us at LP on the Left.
That's right. LPN Network is up and in full display. You can check out Abe Lincoln's Top App for everything political. Wizard and the Bruiser for video games and all things nerd life. Movie Sign with the Mads. Let's see here. We got Roundtable of Gentlemen, Page 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of great shows. So just check out everything on the LPN Network.
Yeah, absolutely. LastPodcastNetwork.com.
That's right.
Yes, and follow us on Twitter at Henry Loves You, at Marcus Parks, at the newly verified at Ben Kissel, who is now you're real now.
I know. I feel
How
real.
How does it feel to be real?
You know, it feels no different.
Yeah.
No different at all.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So you got that crushing weight of reality on your shoulders, huh?
Every day of my life. Vote September 12th on Tuesday if you're unaffiliated. Make sure to get out there in Brooklyn them to vote. We got to beat these Republicans. Yes. It'll send a great message to all the young people wanting to get involved in politics in their local precincts or wherever they might be.
It will be interesting.
It will be interesting.
Follow us on Instagram at Dr. Fantisi, at Marcus Parks, at Ben Kissel, the number one, and follow us Last Podcast on the Left on everything at LP on the Left.
And I also made a black metal playlist. It's very short. It's just like 10, 11 songs.
You gave
songs.
It to me. I loved it. It's a great playlist.
Yeah, I made it for both of these guys to kind of like give them a bit of a primer. But there's some cool shit on there. If you go to lastpodcastnetwork.com and go to follow, there's a link to my Spotify profile on there. So you can go and follow the black metal playlist that I made. And a ton. I've got dozens upon dozens of other playlists that I've made throughout the year. So you can go and check all those out on there.
Yes, hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene.
Hail me.
Hail Asatru.
Uh-oh.
The pantheon of undead gods. The riders of the soul.
Magustalations, everyone. All right, it's time for the Patreon shoutouts. Thanks to everyone who has given to our Patreon. You are lifesavers and the only reason we're able to do everything that we're doing.
Of course, you guys got us off our feet. You guys got us on our feet, and you got us running now.
That's it. So hail yourselves, everyone. Thank you so much. I will start. Joe Foy, he has pledged $1. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
Of course, we appreciate
it. Give me that dollar.
I'm dead serious. If everyone gave us $1, that would be remarkable. Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate any and anything and everything that you guys can get. We appreciate every single one of you.
Absolutely. So yes, Joe Foy, thank you so much, sir. Britt Bueshausen, Sherry Berry. Sherry Berry, why is that name familiar?
Right?
I don't remember, but Sherry, hello.
I don't know.
Sherry Berry, that was the name of the Department of Labor person in North Carolina. Her name was in the elevator at our hotel.
Shit, wow. Wow, Henry.
Nerd alert.
Wow, Henry Zabrowski coming in with a nerd alert.
What, nerd alert? Because I have a memory?
Kind of a nerdy memory. Sherry Berry, thank you. Steve Carley, Sarah Shea, Lance Dale, Bill Yates, thank you, Bill. Daniel Pettinude, Rebecca Porphyria, or Porphyria. Rebecca, thank you. Emma Platt, Carl McNaught, Laura King, Molly Zabadow, Katie Pretty, Morgan Elvey, Zach Newman, Audrey Warner, Henry Rauschenberger, Teresa Norstedt, 10 greetings from Airy Hair Extensions and Lithuania, but then it gets cut off. So thank you, 10 greetings from Airy Hair Extensions and Lithuania. Mitchell Lampanese, Isaac Balboa, Leah, Juliana Neal, Ben Shardell, thank you, Ben, Rob Townsend, Jessica Mercado, Noel Martin, Samantha Clark, Kate Ottawell or Odawell, Shannon Cook, Anna Krim, Jacob McCutcheon, Evan, Kara, Chris Ringer, Bo Deegan, Lydia Pazniza. Pazniza? Yes, Lydia. Okay, thank you. Amanda Puddycum. Pudicum.
Pudicum?
It's Pudicombe. Petticomb.
I can see that.
I love the name.
Pudicomb?
Yes. Petticomb.
Pudicomb.
Yeah, it's a fun name. Yes, don't get haunted if you are English. Amanda Puddicomb. Evan Sislowski. Kevin King. Allie Long. Justin Lauer. And Matt Novak. Thank you all so much.
Okay. I've got Tom Batkin. Saumya Singh. Melissa Hill, ooh. Emily Scooch, Ilsa Hennessy, Christopher Cooper, oh, it's the actor,
ooh,
Zeke LaFlame, Jill Nowadley, Victoria McCabe, Kel Thornton, Zach Andrews, Thomas Whitcomb, Carson Newman, Elliot DeLapp, Julia Gire, Ryan Russell, Tyler Wood, Akira Barrows, Dr. Bradshaw, Brad Leshchak, Courtney Elmore, Henry Ho! Woof.
We know one of them. We got one of them.
Paul H. Ajacorte. Actually, it reminds me, I finally learned what the term thought means.
What is it?
The T-H-O-T? That ho over there.
Oh!
No, it doesn't mean that.
Yes.
Is that what it means?
Yep.
Well,
T-H-O-T, okay. That ho over there.
I thought it was meant something different.
Nope. That ho over there, which I think is inappropriate.
That ho over there.
But
yep.
this is another thing with the acronyms then. They yeah. just spelled yes. the full
also,
word
my
in the middle.
Also, my other thing, too, is... Do you say, when it says AF on the thing, and I know it's supposed to mean as fuck, do you say AF or do you say as fuck?
I think you say AF.
Oh, man.
I think it's up to you as a human.
What if I choose suicide? What if I just choose suicide?
You're allowed to do whatever you
Selena
want.
Selena Goss, Caitlin Gregory, Morgan Croft, Brian I, Emily Kirkpatrick, Heather Lynch, Ryan Cores, Molly Coffey, Brandon Thurston, Osama Bhatti, Gareth Sloan, MJ Hall, Christopher Johnson, Kiefer Smith, Andrew F. Dyer, Genevieve A. Hartman, Rick Underhill, Jekyll and Hyde, Andrea De La Hoss, Kai Diane, Alicia Kadam, Maggie Sengelsub, Linnea Seidelgard, Andre, Alex Webster, Cassie Collum, Katie McLean, Katie Davis, Alexandra Phillips, Alex, Lane Ahrens, Alicia Russo. I believe we know her.
Okay.
I believe we met her over at Outlands, I believe.
Very nice.
Hail Satan, girl. Bianca Trujillo, Fernando Infanzon, Danish Tanvir, Kevin O'Brien, Dark Lorg, James Heisch, Jessica, Diablo Sauce Packet, Riley Wolf, Janelle Burdett, and Ryder Jacobson.
Did you say Diablo Sauce Packet?
Yes.
I love that. That's a great name.
I got Dylan Wedeke. Weedike.
Uh-oh.
It's either Wedeke or Weedike, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Lipinski, Bridget Dubin, James Avramenko, Tori Lacey, Ben Lee, Human Instrumentality Project.
Yeah. That's
good.
Yeah, sure. Dude, that's from Evangelion, dude.
I like
it. Matthew Taylor. Charlie McAwesome, Elisa Landy, Chelsea Vance, Shelly Rainey,
okay.
Sarah Ray, Barry Bryan, Lucy Jane, Michael Rivera, Greg Lewis, Nick, Cody Hatch, Sam Hain.
Cool. Come to the October show. It's already sold out, so it's too bad, but.
Savin. Amy Haslam, Eyeball, Carter Merritt. Jimmy Champagne.
Oh, I like the Jimmy Champagne. Wow.
Lauren, Kaylin Williams, Molly Rebecca, Matt Kibler, Bonnie Wallace, Reiner Sambale, Christy Tuppen, Alex Petralia, Patrick Scholes, Alexandra Brown, Elsa Matson, Elizabeth Fleming, Sarah Bridgeport, Charity Lang, Chance Broussard, Haley Green, Austin Sherrill, Jordan Pagano,
right.
Sarah Hill, and Stephanie Murphy.
Hail yourselves. Thank you all very much. I got a couple of more names here. Yuri Bystrom. Thank you very much, Mr. Yuri. Corey, coming in hot. Nicole Schultz, Jacob Birdwell, Rowan, Angie Wenham. Tasty Troll Bait. Oh, my goodness.
No.
Tasty Troll. That is wild stuff. Diddy Jensen, Christina Castro, Megan, SMO, Itori, Michael Brookfield, Jamie Kigan, or Sigan, I believe it's probably Kigan or Kigan, Jamie Kigan, Braddock Transtrom, ooh, that's a great strong name, Braddock Transtrom, Joshua White, Dana Rizzo, Jared Wolf, Gmarco Simone, George Marston, who I must say, thank you, George. My goodness gracious.
Did he give?
He gave.
Okay.
Oh, he gave, Marcus. Oh, Marston give, yes. M.D. Penman, James Tingle. I'll finish it up here with Alfred Garza, William Hayden, Chris Schotten, Whitney Alexander, Bruni, Ian Byram, Colin W. Lewis, Tony Moore, Christineer, Bobby Dunnard, Seth Saylor, Christy Harris, Serafina Cruz, beautiful name, Serafina Cruz, Michael, Sarah Hong, Amber B, Daniel Fortis, Sarah, I'm assuming it's Sarah, but it might be Sari, so I'm going to say Sarah Gessner or Sari Gessner, Mariana Violet or Valet, Neil French, Gavin Cab. Gavin Crabtree, Nick Gieski, or Glasgow, Nick Glasgow. Thank you all so much. Hail yourselves.
Dan Masters, Casey Roscalella, Roccazella, Juliet Ashby, Letty Hunting, Mary Doyle, Chris Sentango, J.D. Filiaga, Will Howard, Samantha Garcia, Leah Belancio, Zach Borjas,
Dave Evans, Courtney Nicole, that's cute, Michael Cahill, Becky, Tequila Lewis, Simon Tierney Wig, Ricky Zalmond, Joe Almanza, Trundle Manor, Thomas Robertson. My name is Thomas Robertson. Cosette de Casser.
Cosette, I love you very much.
That's from, Les Mis.
Oh.
Patrick Shires.
What does Les Mis stand for?
The Miserables.
Huh. Now, what would you want to hear about that?
You're fucking, it is a wonderful story. Megan Floyd, Haley Muh, Casey Hermanson, Melinda Noble, Martine Baruch, Mick Carroll, George Athan, Bobby Heaton, Jody Faulkner, Michael Booth, X is the Weapon, Paulina Venegas, Anna Bautista, Toby Shields, Alex Quayler, Thomas, Julie Green, Chelsea Hoff, and Daniel Moore.
All right.
I got to round it all up. Haley Morris, Todd Burt, Autumn Campbell, Eric Silva, Lucien Dillon, Tyler Alley, Declan Fitzpatrick, Julie Q, Joe Rosenblum, Kathleen Jenkins, Caroline White, Greg Dunn, Anais Malero, Jessica, I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name, Anais Malero. Jessica, Sarah, come to New Hampshire Rooney.
Oh, it was a request.
That's a request.
Oh, all
I'd
right.
Love to.
Zach Zakowski, I think, or Chakowski, one of the
Let
two.
Let me see that one. This is people.
Yeah, go for it.
Zach Chakowski.
Cool.
Yep.
There you go. Pablo Baez, The Biggity Bang.
Huh.
Randall, Samantha Rankins, Jerry Reed, Miles Curtis, Adam Wilson, Cameron O'Connor, Chelsea B., Kira Grant, Allison Stedman, Ryan Peterson, Haley Shanks, Brianna, Nina Gabriel, Callum Roberts, Kira Christopheritis, Lee Gallup, Melissa Kelly, Robert Smith, Vanessa Harris, Brett Gregory Thrasher, Jonas Kalioniemi.
Okay.
Jacob Perron, Walter Mulligan, Elizabeth Kinney, Alicia Baradine, Elise Manley, Katie O'Dell, Pam, Kat Kneb, Dora Colton, Jeffrey Smith, Patrick Swayze.
Look at that.
Speaking of dead.
Wow. I love R.I.P., by the way.
R.I.P. Leah Jarvis, Kelly Jean, and Benjamin Davis Brockman.
And one last big shout out to Mike from North Carolina. He got diagnosed with ball cancer. Oh. And I hope that he's fucking beating it right now.
I don't know if that's the right term to use for it.
You should fucking go at it. Yeah, man. Fucking, you calm that cancer out, Mike. He's a very tall man.
Mike, we're with you.
And one more, Alex Petralia.
All right. Hail yourselves, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Can't wait to see you at the live shows.
Hail Satan. Thank you for your money. And thank you for your support.
Hail Geet, everyone. Magustalations.
Yes, Magustalations.